Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.
This is Kevin Brooker. Welcome to Cruising Through Retirement. You know, on today's show, for many Americans, saving for retirement is not on the front burner, so to speak. And if that's you, we've got some signs that you're probably going to want to avoid with courtesy from Jeff Foxworthy and some other tips to help you into a successful retirement.
You found Cruising Through Retirement with Kevin Brooker. Kevin is an investment advisor representative with more than 30 years' experience. He's helped thousands of people cruise through retirement, and he'd be happy to help you too. Stick around for today's adventure on Cruising Through Retirement.
Welcome in, everybody. This is Cruising Through Retirement. Kevin Brooker is here. I'm Steve Siddall. Kevin has been helping folks for more than 30 years. You can find more about Kevin and his team at SilverleafFinancial.com. SilverleafFinancial.com. Kevin, hi, how are you?
I am good. I'm good. You know what? We got some rain in the desert this week, but I'm good nonetheless.
So, yeah, I was reading about that. You got some serious rain.
Oh, yeah, for sure. You know, this massive storm that hit California last week.
Yeah.
Where it got, I mean, some. I think Tahoe got like, I don't know, 6 or 7 feet of snow.
Uh-huh.
And Mammoth in California got like 9 feet, I heard.
Oh, gosh.
So... That's a little bit of snow, and I said, you know, I'm really glad I don't have to clean that out. So, you know, that's one thing about Arizona, at least in the valley here, we don't have to worry about snow.
Exactly. Yeah, well, that's a good thing.
Yes, for sure, for sure. Especially for those of us, you know, that came from the Midwest and had our fill of it, you know, earlier in life.
Right.
So, you know, so we're gonna heat up out here real soon, I am sure. You know, and but I did, you know, Steve, you mentioned before the show the New York Community Bank.
Right.
And I was initially not gonna say much about it, but I think you're right. I think it is a topic of interest that a lot of people have heard about by now.
Mm-hmm.
And so you guys might have heard, if you look it up, it's, what's the ticker? I think NYCB, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, NYCB, yep.
And oh my gosh, if you pull up a chart on this stock.
I did.
Oh, did you?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. It's the exact opposite of what you want. All right.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, you know, when you look at a chart, a stock chart, you ideally want to see it going from the lower left corner towards the upper right corner. So a nice increasing slope is what you want to look for, right? This is the exact opposite. People have lost a ton of money. I feel horrible for anybody that owned that stock. But at the same time, it's in the news this week, it being led by our former Treasury Secretary, Steve Mnuchin, managed apparently to make some new friends and raise a bunch of money while he worked in the White House. And so him and his boys are investing, I think, close to $1 billion in equity.
That's what I was, that's what surprised me.
It surprised me, too. It tells me that they think they're going to make a lot of money off of it. and it goes back. So just to let everybody know, if in my opinion, nobody should have more than $250,000 on deposit at any bank, really at any bank. If you have to do that or you feel like you just really want to do that, then I would stick with the majors like JPMorgan Chase. But personally, I don't see any reason why a person would do that. The guys, there are banks on every corner. They're all over the place. In fact, you don't have to leave your house to go to a bank, right? You can do it all online. You can do it on your phone. And you don't even have to leave because your insured amount, FDIC insurance, covers you to $250,000. So in my opinion, I mean, I've had a lot of clients say, I don't want to put in more than, you know, 220 or 230, so I've got room to grow. You know, however you want to do it, just be aware of the risk. Let's remember that there is FDIC insurance that'll cover that covers you if the bank becomes insolvent up to 250. If you've got more than 250 at the bank, then you're banking on the no pun intended, but you're gambling that the government is going to bail you out like they did Silicon Valley Bank last year. That was about, God, I think it's almost exactly a year now since that happened, the collapse in California.
Right.
You know, and I believe that was a very unusual situation. There were, I believe everybody recovered every penny they had courtesy of the government, meaning they did reimburse people beyond the 250. But guys, that taking a gamble on that, to me, is very, very risky. And so in my opinion, just don't take the chance. You worked hard to get that money. You saved it up. Don't lose it because you put too, because you just didn't want to open a second bank account or third bank account. So I just want to mention that it is, there's probably mostly local people in the Northeast that have accounts there. And I know they've lost 7 or 8% of their deposits just in the last month, which is a, you know, your classic bank run. So make sure you take a look at the banks. A lot of the people are hearing about commercial real estate problems.
Oh yeah, that's what's attributed to this one, right?
It is, exactly. And first of all commercial real estate's not the same. You know, you could have industrial warehouses, it could be commercial real estate, it could be, you know, office buildings and the office building component. The companies, the banks that made a lot of loans to office buildings, and now everybody might remember since COVID, a lot of people aren't going into the office anymore. And so there's a lot of abandoned office buildings, a lot of empty office buildings. Those are the ones that are on the books at a lot of regional banks, and those are underperforming assets, which means the banks are losing money on them. Okay. So I would be very careful about a regional bank. I like to stick with the majors like Wells Fargo or Chase or Bank of America, or Citigroup, you know, those are the biggest ones, and they do have the most rigorous regulatory requirements, meaning they've got to keep the most capital on hand because they are the biggest. But remember what happened 15 years ago, 16 years ago with the Great Recession, and these institutions, they create all these, not to get too technical, but they call them synthetic derivatives. So
okay.
if you remember all the initials like CDO, collateralized debt obligations, and all this type of stuff, that's where the trouble a lot of times begins and ends, actually. And those are a lot of the things that collapsed. That was one of the contributing factors to that mess we had 15, 16 years ago. And these institutions are doing it again. They're doing it again. Okay, so the Federal Reserve is actively looking at these synthetic creations from these big institutions to make sure that they do the job they're supposed to do and that there aren't not too much risk. Okay, but there's a lot going on behind the scenes, guys, we don't know about. So the best thing to do is just stay under the insured amount for your FDIC deposits.
All right. And I know I read another story or part of a story that was talking about people want to go to the regional banks because they're tired of the big banks changing names and bought and sold and all of that. Do you see some validity there?
You know what? I guess there is some validity there because they have gone through a lot of name changes and there have been a lot of acquisitions. But I got to tell you something, going to a regional bank, you could very well wind up being Chase a couple years from now.
Absolutely.
You know, in fact, Jamie Dimon, the boss at Chase, has said they've actually got a goal to open up hundreds of new branches over the next couple of years. And the way they're going to do it is by buying other banks.
Okay.
So, I guess you can make that argument. I know some people like it because it's a smaller, they got a local feel, or maybe you know people that run it or something, which is fine. All I'm advocating for is just stay within the insured amount, and look for the services that make sense to you. You know, you shouldn't have to pay anything for your accounts. And in my opinion, you should keep very low balances in your savings and checking account, just what you need to cover your bills, because they're still not paying any interest. At least my banks aren't.
Yeah.
So what I do is I have money market accounts that I link electronically to my savings and checking accounts. I keep a very small amount in the big bank accounts because they're not paying any interest. And then I just journal the money. I move the money every month when I need to pay a bill or something. But by doing that, I'm making 5% in a money market, whereas the big banks aren't paying you anything.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely don't keep a bunch of money in an account that's not paying you any interest. It's really easy to do. There are free accounts all over the place that you can set up that you can get interest rates. There's still some paying over 5%. So you just got to take a few minutes and look around, or give me a call. I'd be happy to help you figure it out.
800-975-6717 is the number if you'd like to reach out, or silverleaffinancial.com. Well, you mentioned Jeff Foxworthy at the top of the show, and I love how we're going to do this. Jeff Foxworthy, he's the guy that says you might be, well, in this case, we're going to say you might not be able to retire if you're looking for a quick fix in retirement.
That's it. That's it. The old Jeff, I thought he was hysterical. You know,
absolutely.
You might be a redneck if.
Exactly.
And so what we're saying is you might not be able to retire if you're looking for a quick retirement fix. So if you're putting your entire retirement into cryptocurrencies, that might not work out too well. It might make you a fortune, but you might go broke. All right. So one thing to look at, you know, looking for a quick solution to your problems, in most cases, it's only going to lead to a bigger problem, all right? Because the fact of the matter is it takes time to really accumulate wealth. You should really try to accumulate wealth, get rich slowly is really the smart way to do it, because otherwise you have to take outsized risk. You have to take so much risk in things like cryptocurrency or the high-flying semiconductor stocks, okay? And now, in full disclosure, let me jump in there. I am personally taking risk with both of those, all right? But they're very speculative. I certainly don't have any, you know, it's a small piece of my portfolio, but I do own Bitcoin. I also own Ether in the cryptocurrency space. Now, they have been doing very, very well. In fact, it's a top performing asset for quite a while now, to be honest. Do you know, Steve, if you go back to the inception of Bitcoin, which I think was, I believe it was 2010 or 2011.
Okay, yeah.
Any idea of the appreciation?
Well, I mean, I know it was over 69,000 or something like that. I have no idea where it started. I have no idea.
Over 60 million% return.
60 million%?
Yes, because I think it started trading at a penny.
Oh my gosh!
And or it could have been a fraction of a penny. Some of these things start off at a tenth of a penny or a hundredth of a penny.
Wow!
And so yeah, they did a segment on the Business Channel the other day. 60 million%. Okay. Now you do have guys like Warren Buffett who said famously, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 years ago, you know, you could give me all the, something like you could give me all the cryptocurrency in the world for $25 and I don't want any of it, something like that. He is not a believer. He thinks it's going to crash and burn and you'll lose all your money. His old partner, Charlie Munger, who, you know, rest in peace. He also said the same thing, something about it being a scam or a joke or basically not worthy of any attention, not worthy of any money. Also, a lot of the big billionaires, for instance, Jamie Dimon, I just mentioned a minute ago, he is also totally against the cryptocurrencies, thinks they're worthless. All right, so that's my disclaimer. A lot of these very rich, well-known people think crypto is worthless, okay? However, it is one of the best performing assets. And if you have speculative money meaning you can lose every single penny and it won't hurt you, okay? If that's the only money you should put into this, it is very high risk. It can easily move 10% in the blink of an eye. It can move 20-30% in a day, all right? And it works both ways, guys. Remember about the stock market and especially about crypto and high-risk speculative trading. This knife cuts both ways, okay? It's great when you're making money, and it's horrible when you're losing money. And
yes.
Okay, and the volatility in the cryptocurrencies, in particular Bitcoin, that can just make you want to throw up. Okay. Seriously, 100%. So don't underestimate the risk. If you're putting money in there, just be careful. Okay. Now I do think that, it does look, which is the reason I own it. I own it because of technicals. Bitcoin seems to trade very much, and Ether seem to trade very much, following technical analysis rules. And so that's a lot of what I look at. There's a lot of forecasts. There's a guy on Wall Street, named Tom Lee. He's one of the guys at a company called Fundstrat, and he has been one of the most accurate predictors of returns for the last few years, as far as I know. I've watched him and read him quite a bit. He thinks Bitcoin can double within the next year from where it is right
double?
Now.
Double? Holy cow.
He's calling for 150. Kathy Wood of ARK thinks it could hit a million by 2030. So those are some pretty big forecast. Okay, the way that I'm looking at Bitcoin is I'm looking at it for the next couple of years. I'm not looking at it for a trade. I've got a significant gain in it already. But if there's weakness, I'll probably buy more. But again, it's a small piece of my portfolio.
Mm-hmm.
So look at that how you like. I'm not looking at it for a quick retirement fix. If I lose it, I lose it. But if it works out, that'd be nice too.
Sure.
So, you know, so as we move on with our Jeff Foxworthy
yes
comparisons, you might not be able to retire if you're also spending without a plan. All right. It's another sign you're not going to retire, or at least not on time.
Right.
You want to do your best to have some sort of a plan, even if it's something you wrote down on a napkin. It's better than nothing at all. All right. But let's sit down and try to get a handle on where what money's coming in, where it's going, how much is going. And let's make sure you know where the money's, where you're spending your money. So you should have a budget. You should have a monthly, in my opinion, a monthly budget. Cause I'm really surprised at the number of people I talk to and I say, how much you spend on this, how much you spend on that. And they're like, they don't really know exactly. They've got an idea, but I think you should know exactly. I know exactly what, this is what I do. So I guess I look at things differently than people that aren't in this business.
True.
But I know exactly what I spend and everything. My wife knows the exact price of, I swear, every item in the grocery store, every single item to the penny. And she can tell me, is it cheaper at Walmart or cheaper at Fry's or is it cheaper at Safeway or is it a better deal at Sam's Club? Or no, maybe we should go to Amazon. She knows them all. All right.
Okay. So, well, good for her. That's good for you.
It's fantastic for me. That's what I tell her. I say, every dollar she can save at the grocery store is another dollar that I can invest, towards our retirement. And so she's doing everything she can to save money when she's out shopping at groceries or items for the house or whatever it might be. And then the money that we're saving, I'm working every day to save it, to invest it, to do the best I can to set us up for retirement, just like I'm trying to help my clients out. All right. And so, guys, the difference is, I don't know if you look, we used to have a neighbor that would only go to one store because she liked it. But man, the differences in prices from one to another, like you can get eggs at some places for, I guess, $2.50 or $2.75, and other stores are like $4.50, $5.
Right.
And to me, that's a huge difference.
Big difference.
Right. It's only a couple bucks, but that adds up if you keep on doing it. Right.
Well, you know, I look at the grocery store. I do a lot of shopping in my family. And what I've noticed is that depending on the grocery store, the staples, right, a can of soup, a bag of flour. I mean, those prices between stores vary widely.
Yeah. You know, I had no idea until my wife told me, because I'll admit I don't go to stores very often.
Right.
But yeah, I was surprised. And it's kind of like the thing. It makes me think of like the hotels, you know, how they make you walk through the casino before you can get to the elevator to go to your room.
Yes, of course.
You know, because they want you to spend your money. All right. And it's once in a while when she asks me to pick something up at the store, she'll say, you know, we need a gallon of milk. And I'm like, well, where's that in the store? Well, it's in the very back.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because you got to walk through the whole store. And apparently there are some, that's what they do with their pricing, is they know that if you buy a whole bunch of other stuff, I think it was Walmart had the most expensive eggs or the most expensive milk or something. Because they know you're getting a whole bunch of stuff there and you're probably going to say, you know what? I'm not going to another store just for a gallon of milk.
Right.
And that's how they get you. Okay. So I want to do everything I can to help you save money so that you can invest it, so that you can have the best retirement possible. And it does start, these little things make a difference, guys. I tell my wife, if we can save an extra $100 a month because we're spending smarter, then that is going to make a big difference over time. And whatever you can put away, that's what you want to put away. So according to Jeff Foxworthy, though, you might not be able to retire if paying off debt is not a priority. All right.
Well, that's a big deal, Kevin. You know it. I know it. And that,
oh, my gosh.
But yet you still see people with, I mean, a huge amount of credit card debt in particular. And I was looking at credit cards and just doing a little research. Not the highest, but one of the highest interest rates I saw, and it was on multiple cards, 30%.
Yeah.
30.
It is, right? Shouldn't that be illegal? That seems like it should be illegal.
Oh, it's horrible.
And you know, one area where people really get hurt is these payday loans.
You know,
people taking out a loan. I don't even know the terms, to be honest. I've never done it, but I've read about them. I believe the terms are less than a month. I think it's like a 2-week loan or something until you get your paycheck.
Something like that.
Yeah, they're really short-term loans. And I believe there's somehow because they're such short-term or the way they structure it, they can get away with exorbitant rates. Guys, if your goal is to retire one day, then you really want to pay off all your debt in a timely manner. Ideally, you should pay off your credit cards every month in full. Don't carry any balance, all right? It's different if you have a 0% rate on something. You know, that's a little bit different, you know, like some car, you buy a new car and they want to give you a 0% rate. Don't fall for it because you're going to lose a boatload of money on that new car depreciation. Now, you can do it. I've done it. I admit it, but I live to regret it. But I decided that I didn't want any debt. And I'm happy to say we've been debt-free for quite a while now, and including no mortgage. And to me, it relieves anxiety because I've got my monthly bills are the lowest they've been my entire working career. And that's because we don't have no car loans, no home loans, no credit card, nothing. And because of that, it's given me the ability to save more, right? I can put away more because I don't have to pay interest on a loan or a credit card. So if you have debt, if you have credit card debt in particular, or whatever debt you have, and I've known people about this. When early in my career, I ran into some financial troubles, and I had to rack up credit card debt, and it got pretty scary for a while. And it got to the point that I said, you know what? I'm going to put these on a spreadsheet, and I'm going to be smart about it. And I went paying attention. So what you do, you want to pay the minimum on every card you can, pay the most you can possibly pay on the highest interest account, okay? Whatever is your highest interest, whatever you're paying the most interest for, that's where the bulk of your money should go first, all right? And just pay the minimum on the ones that have lower interest rates so you can pay off the highest interest rate first. That's how you want to do it. That'll save you the most in interest, but get those things paid off. And then once you have them paid off, do everything you can to stay out of debt. Okay. Don't get yourself back into debt because it's just something that's going to weigh you down. And why make somebody else rich? Because now you can actually make money. Like I said, you can get 5% money market. So rather than paying, you know, making the bankers rich, how about we make you rich? And you start by make sure we don't have any debt.
Right. Well, and again, I think something, you know, you talk about rich and you're spending without a plan or you're looking for a quick fix. You know, I think one of the things that that becomes clear is that the debt can be just debilitating.
Oh yeah, yeah. It without a doubt. I think it can. Guys, have you know the thing that motivated me to pay off my mortgage?
What's
was
that?
Actually looking at the amortization table. And I know that sounds super exciting, right? All right. If you look at a mortgage and you look at how much interest you are paying on every payment. When I started paying attention to that, it's like, you gotta be kidding me. It's the way loans are structured, the first several years of your loan, you're paying very, very little in principal. And 90% of your payment is interest. And looking at that saying, man, I'm paying, what, $1,000 a month, $800 a month, $600 a month? And that's what it was. Because I would look at it, and I started looking at it every month. I said, I'm just sick of this. I can't stand paying this interest anymore. And I took the mindset that if anyone's going to be making interest, it's going to be me because I'm not going to have any debt. So take a look at it. You might be shocked at how much of your mortgage payment is interest. And if you're in the first several years of the mortgage, chances are the great majority of that payment is interest. And start thinking about it, and hopefully that'll motivate you to get that paid off. I think people make a mistake with 30-year mortgages. I don't think anyone should have more than a 15-year mortgage personally. That's for the bank. That's not for you. All right. So nonetheless, try to make it a focus because once you get that paid off, now we can start saving more money, putting more money away and investing it for your future so we can make sure you got the comfortable retirement that you want.
Absolutely. So we've got to pay off debt. And so what else? What else has Mr. Foxworthy come up with for us?
Oh, you know what? Well, you might not be able to retire if you're living paycheck to paycheck. All right.
That's not a good sign if you're living paycheck to paycheck in retirement.
No, that's another telltale sign. And especially if you're close, if you're older, you know, I get it. If you're young, you know, a lot of us live like that when we're in our 20s.
Sure.
But hopefully once you're past 30, you've learned that's not the smartest way to do it. Because it can be tough to break. What do they say? It's simple, but not easy.
Yes.
And so what you want to do is and nobody likes to do these things, guys, but the sooner you do it, the better off you're going to be. Is you just have to sit down in front of your computer, pull up your bank account, look at all the money and where it's going. All right. I've mentioned a lot of times, I know there's a lot of people, God, I saw something the other day, gift cards. Do you know how many gift cards are in circulation that have never been cashed? It's something like $1 billion.
Oh my gosh, that much. Wow.
It's a huge amount. That's why every place you go, you see them offering gift cards now. Mm-hmm. Because the retailers know there's a really good chance that they're going to sell it to you and you're going to forget to use it. So it's like free money for them, right?
Yeah.
and so, guys, take a look at your gift cards. I'll tell you something I did this year over the Christmas holidays when everybody's saying, hey, you know, you give us $50 and we're going to give you a $50 card plus a $10 bonus, something like that, right?
Yeah, right.
So I found a handful of restaurants that me and my wife like to go to, and I stocked up on gift cards. And I did it because I'm getting 20 to 30%, 20, 30, some of them 40% off because of those bonuses. And so that's something that I do, all right? We're watching the price of everything we buy, and I'm doing everything I can to get a deal or a discount. And to me, that's a smart way to do it, because the better you get at stretching your dollars, the better you're going to get at saving those dollars, right? And so once you go through your budget, you see where you can cut back. You know, look at your electric bill. Can you do anything to lower your electric bill? I've talked to a lot of people that their auto insurance is unbelievable. I pay $50 a month is what I pay.
Holy cow. Wow. Well, yeah, you've got older cars and they're paid for.
And they're older, they're paid for, right? And in the state of Arizona, guys, your registration costs is based on the value of the car, right? So I renewed my car for 2 years, I think, for like $150 or something.
Nice.
And like Steve said, my cars are older. I bought them brand new. We're the original buyers of both my car and my wife's, and they're both 03. I dropped like $100,000 on cars inside of a month, I think, in 2003. And I felt like an idiot for doing it. All right. And I told her at the time, I said, we're keeping these things forever. And so 21 years and counting, she still hasn't even passed 100,000 miles.
Oh, wow. So, wow. Good for her. I mean, right? Again, but that's the thing. It's, you know, yeah, you said you spent a ton of money before, but I mean, it's, you know, all these years later, holy cow, think how much you're saving.
And that's what makes me feel good about it.
Absolutely.
You know, and because we've kept them, my father was he called himself a maintenance engineer.
Okay.
And what my father did, the word on the street was he was a greaser. Okay. He was a grease man. All right. In other words, he had a union job in Illinois. He worked in heavy construction equipment, you know, like bulldozers and scrapers and all these huge machines you see out there. And when they're putting, you know, first doing the groundwork to build a subdivision or something.
Sure.
And that's hard work. I did it for a summer. I'm like, okay, no, I'm going back to college.
Seems like a good plan then.
It's hard work, all right?
Yeah.
Anyway, my dad's job was driving this truck to all the different jobs, and he could drive hundreds of miles a day. And then he's the guy that would grease them and oil them and do the maintenance on them and climbing all over these huge machines. And so because of that, he's very focused on maintenance, and he'd always tell me, if you take care of it, it will take care of you. And there's no reason that your engine or any automotive part or car or whatever can't live indefinitely if you maintain it properly. And that lesson was drilled into my brain as I remember him showing me how to, you know, change the oil in a car when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. So we maintained our cars, and you can look at my Lexus. Let's say you're like 15 feet away, not right next to it. And I bet you're going to think it's a lot newer than it really is. And so I think if you get it, take care of it. If you got to buy a new car, try to keep it as long as you can, because they all lose money over time. They lose it pretty fast. And so if you're going to get a new vehicle, do your best to maintain it, take care of it, follow the owner's manual, make sure you do the maintenance and take care of it, and it'll probably take care of you as well.
Yeah, I like that. Folks, 800-795-6717 if you want to reach Kevin, or silverleaffinancial.com as well. And we've got one more.
Yes, one more. The old Jeff Foxworthy says, you might be a redneck if, and I'm going to say, you might not be able to retire if you're not building a reliable monthly income, all right? You might not be able to retire if you don't have a different source of income, right, coming in when you retire, because you're going to lose that paycheck,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
And you're going to lose the paycheck, but your bills, you know, APS or whoever your electric company is, they're going to keep billing you, I'm sure. And most likely,
the taxes don't stop either.
Oh God, the taxes aren't going to stop. And most people do pay tax on their Social Security check, but pardon me, by the way. So you're going to be paying these bills, and they're going to get higher over time, right? You know, your property taxes are going to go up. Your health insurance is going to go up. So you're going to need some monthly cash flow. And so that's one of the things we want to sit down and look at. Where are you going to generate income? And so that's one of the things I talk to my clients about, is where are you going to get the income from? So at first we have to sit down, look at all your assets compared to liabilities. And then we look at all the money coming in and all the money going out, right? Mm-hmm. We need to figure out your monthly expenses. So if your monthly expenses are, let's say, $5,000 and your Social Security is $3,000, then you've got a shortfall of $2,000, right? Mm-hmm. So we need to come up with a way to come up with not just the $2,000, because that's what you need right now, But we know, like we just talked about, those bills are going higher, right? So we need to come up with $2,000 now, but then we also need a plan to add to that over time so that maybe in a couple of years you've got an extra $2,500 a month coming in, right? And 10 years from now, you might need $3,000 a month extra because your Social Security will adjust purportedly to the cost of living. And I say that in this way because most people don't think the Social Security check actually keeps up with the cost of living.
And they might be right.
You know what? I bet they probably are right. So you want to make sure you've got way you're not just making it when you first retire, right? Because if you retire at 65 and you're just covering all your expenses now, well, as inflation keeps coming and coming and hitting it harder and harder, you're going to get to a point probably 3, 4, or 5 years from now where you don't have enough income. So it's very important to look at that. There's a lot of ways you can do it. A lot of people like using stock and bond portfolio. So you guys know the rule of thumb is a 4% withdrawal. So if you wanted $12,000 a year, you need at least $300,000 to get $1,000 a month, okay? But there's other ways you can do it too. A lot of us look at annuities. And annuities are the only vehicle that will continue to pay you a monthly income even if its value goes to zero. That's why people like the annuities, because they're guaranteed to last for life. Now, this is not all contracts. You have to have the right contract with the right terms. They don't all operate this way, all right? But a lot of them do. They have an expense to it, okay? So you want to ask yourself if you pay for home insurance. Do you pay to insure your home?
Yes, of course.
Right? Do you pay to insure your automobile?
Always.
Do you pay to insure your health?
Yes.
Right? All of these things have a cost. None of them are free, right?
No.
And what you're doing here is you're insuring a monthly check. That's what you're doing. You're paying to ensure that you've got a check coming in for as long as you live, even if it's 112, okay? And the insurance companies out there, if you get a good income rider, it's going to have a fee associated with it. Generally, it's going to be like 1% a year. Some are more, some are less. And I can show you a spreadsheet where I show you all the highest, I can show you the top 20 guaranteed income quotes from 20 different companies, who will pay you the most income. I can show it to you with a fee, and then I can show it to you without a fee. And if you want to avoid the fee, that's fine. I don't care. It really doesn't make me a difference. I just want to make sure I can help you reach your goals. However you want to do it is up to you. I'm going to give you my suggestions, and we're going to talk them and discuss them, see what makes a fit, what makes sense for your situation. What do you feel comfortable with? Because I don't want you taking more risk than you should take, but I also don't want you running out of money. So I want to go over the different options, and then I'm going to ask you to consider them with an open mind. And however you want to pursue it is completely your choice. The nice thing about annuities is that it will provide you that guaranteed income, whereas we know stocks and bonds, there are no guarantees, right? So I think it's something to take a look at, see if it makes sense. My plan is to put some money into annuities so that we have some income coming in that's guaranteed over and above Social Security. We all hear the stories about Social Security might go broke. Well, Congress doesn't look like they have courage to really do anything. This is the most dysfunctional Congress we've ever had, I think. So I'm not banking on these guys coming up with a solution. And as of right now, that means your benefit could be cut 20%, all right? So bear that in mind as you're doing your retirement planning. And if you'd like to sit down, just give me a call. We can sit down. I'm happy to do it free of charge, no obligation, and see what types of alternatives you might want to take a look at.
Provided this for illustrative purposes only and does not constitute investment, tax, or legal advice. The covered material has been obtained from sources that are deemed to be reliable, but their accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed. There are risks associated with every type of investment vehicle. Please read the prospectus and risk disclosures thoroughly before investing. Insurance guarantees are subject to the insurance company's ability to pay. Neither Silverleaf Financial, Kevin Brooker, host, and guests are responsible for the usage of information discussed. Security and investment services offered through Silverleaf Financial, member SPINRA SIPC. Please consult with an experienced advisor before making any investment decisions.
Volatility in the market is a fact. What isn't so clear is what the ups and downs of the market can do to your retirement portfolio. For answers, call Kevin Brooker at 800-975-6717. Kevin is founder and CEO of Silverleaf Financial, and he's been helping people cut through the noise and create a retirement and income plan that can take you all the way through retirement. Call now for your free financial consultation, 800-975-6717. Today's market volatility can really take a toll on your portfolio. But what if you could lock in your gains and still be in a position to participate in the gains without suffering losses if the market plunges again? That's what Kevin Brooker at Silverleaf Financial can help you achieve. Your no-cost analysis includes a portfolio x-ray showing any hidden fees in your current plan. He'll show you how by claiming Social Security at the right time can make a huge difference in your retirement income. Call Kevin Brooker today, 800-975-6717. Do it today.